It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hi there, I'm Brian Abana, and you're listening to the Mall Over Podcast.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's Mall Over Podcast.
The podcast
gives you all the news, views, and opinion on the weekend rugby action, all with a West Country accent. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Mall Over Podcast. We are Mall Over Rugby Podcast on Facebook. And you can find all of our podcasts on Anchor and Apple Pods and lots of other pod catchers. And despite what anybody else in the conglomerate says, I am the only one that can do this introduction any justice. So, Adam Foxcroft, stop trying to be me. I am joined this week in our pre-season preview, where we may or may not preview some of the Premiership rugby that's to come this weekend, or we may or may not review a stellar performance by Nuki Hornet's second team versus the Law Society. I am joined by try scorer extraordinaire Ben Houston. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm all right, thanks, mate. I'm not going to take a lot of credit for that one.
Okay, well, we'll discuss that in further detail. Humble brag, I wasn't wallowing with these guys in the second team. I went with the first team to Topsham and got bummed instead. Phil Elkins.
Yep, loved every minute of it.
And starting scrum half for the Mall Over Invitational, who I've no doubt will be trying to get me killed in the first 15 minutes, is everyone's favourite cameraman, the Chinese Lensman. Welcome, Doug.
Hello. And the thing that I've learned this week is that I am going to get you killed, especially if we're playing from left to right.
Have you been training?
Yeah.
And how is that?
Well, I'm just a terrible rugby player, but there
So
it turns out that, you know, as someone who played a lot of football and converted to rugby quite late and then predominantly passed the rugby ball off my right hand, that when you're trying to I'm actually better when it's just open play. When we're doing backs moves, like practicing backs moves, and I have to put the ball on the 10's hand so that the rest of the backs can do their thing and look swanky while they're running around, I'm just bad at that. Like when we're doing actual
rugby
competitive practice, I'm all right. I can pass off my left hand. It's just when I absolutely need to that I can't.
I'm unbelievably looking forward to. There's nothing I'm like more than being a crash ball 10, as I found out at the weekend. Before we get into that, let's have a quick chat about the Mall Over Invitational, because that is all that people really want to hear about. It is still happening. It's 9th of October at Nuki Sports and Fitness Center. I don't know. Is that the official name now, Ben? Is there a sports and community center? Is that what it is?
I think having seen us play on Saturday, calling it a fitness center would probably breach some trade description act.
Yeah. But it's happening. We've got some opposition.
A local side, St Austell, will be bringing a second team to play against our Maulover Barbarians. We did some more stellar recruitment from some of the Nuki Hornets second team, as well as all of the people that are all of the people that have put down to play. So I'll be in touch with everybody individually via email with all of the details. I wanted to say a massive, massive go well and get well to long-time listener Guy, who was going to come from Crediton. We all remember Guy, right? Sack Sheriff for Sportif, Lecoq Sportif. Oui. On Twitter. Le Sheriff du Chamois Sack, if that's what it is. Sent a lot of questions in for Punch and Chat. But he messaged me the other day to say, sadly, I'm going to have to withdraw as a player for the Maulover Invitational. First game of the season yesterday, and I dislocated my ankle and broke it in two places. So I've got to go in for surgery this week. If I mobile bike table, I need to come down and watch. Another Punch and Chat in the meantime wouldn't go amiss. I've even written a rugby related quiz if you want it. So Guy, I hope you're listening to this. Get well soon, my friend. We hope to see you in October if you're up on your feet, and do send through that quiz, or better still, at some point in the next couple of weeks, maybe before the Invitational, why not come on and ask the questions yourself. Sounds like a decent enough idea, doesn't it? At least we'll be going in blind. Doug?
No, I'd like to echo those statements. I just want to pick you up on something. Did you say that St. Austell sending a second team down?
St. Austell, yes.
Is this the same St. Austell that play at a 4,000-seat stadium?
I mean,
in the South Counties League?
They don't play at a 4,000-seat stadium, no.
They do, because I'm just on Wikipedia looking at it. They need to send more than a second team down, mate. It needs to be at least four of them. Four teams down, please. Can we have their fourths?
They haven't got a fourths, and their second. We've played their seconds on numerous occasions. I mean, it was several years ago, but yes.
It'll be competitive.
Do they still play where they always used to play?
What, St Austell? Yeah, there is a 4,000-seat stadium there. They've got a stand.
I've just looked at them on Wikipedia, and their stadium apparently holds 4,000
people.
Well,
let me tell you, having been there on a number of occasions and played there, it doesn't.
Don't make me screenshot this, because
you
I will.
Can screenshot what you like, my friend. It just doesn't.
Yeah. Do you know what? Go on Wikipedia. Tregarrick Park, capacity 4,000, 300 seats. That's 3,700 people stood at the side of the pitch.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, side by side.
That's 300 people with deck chairs.
Yeah. Well, no, it does. It does have a lovely big.
We're playing at a sports centre.
Yeah, probably on the not on the main pitch either, but we'll see. Also, I need to sort a bar out, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I also want to. Say a big thanks to Nexus Recruitment, who have kindly donated some money and sponsored the Maulover Invitational playing strip, which we have got on its way. Gents, you've all seen it. It's been shared on social media. It's kind of sexual, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is nice.
And a big thanks to the guys at Kit World in Plymouth who had sorted all that for us. So hopefully that'll be with us very soon as well, and I can show you some great modelling pics attire.
I'd like to understand why you never have these kind of mutant voice problems when you're on Long Snapper.
Mutant voice problems?
Yeah.
Well,
sound like you're talking in the Matrix.
Oh, really? Have I like Norman Collier?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good, is it? Well, we'll have to deal with that as we go along. So, yes, 9th of October, 2:30 kickoff will be Maulover Invitational Barbarians versus St. Austell Seconds. And what will be one thing's for certain is we'll have a good time, we'll have a good drink, and we'll have a lot of fun.
Yes.
And in preparation for said Head Barbarians Rugby Festival. I made my comeback at the weekend. First time in, I'm going to say 5 years. It might be slightly less than that. I mean, I don't remember actually playing since we started recording the podcast, although I might be wrong. And Ben and I played for Newquay Seconds. First time a second team's been out for God knows how long, against a team called the Law Society. Now, the Law Society was supposed to be a touring team. They were a touring team. They definitely had a good drink on Saturday night. They also supposedly had a very good drink on Friday and Friday night. But when they rocked up at the Sports and Community Centre on Saturday, one thing for certain is that they were all between 18-ish. They were all very fit and they all had absolutely delicious haircuts. It was all flowing. It was all flowing locks and thick hair, you know, something I could only dream of. And I'm sure Ben will agree with me. Apparently they play in Surrey One. They've got a home ground in New Malden and they drink somewhere in Wimbledon, but they are predominantly a touring side and they were very, very good. Four or five overlap tries just in the first half. We had five, I think, playing and all on the pitch at the same time. And you think second team rugby and usually rugby of that standard, you're struggling to find a fulfill a front row. More than anything, you're struggling to find people that can prop. We had props playing second row. We had a plop. We had a plop. We had a prop, James Bailey, right, on the flank to start. And he is one of the biggest human beings I've ever seen, right? He is arguably one of the strongest men I've ever seen. At a flanker, he is not.
James is incredibly strong, but he was a very good prop in his day, but he hadn't played rugby for about 4 years. And but he was awarded man of the match, wasn't he?
He was awarded man of the match by opposition
team's vote, so he couldn't have done that bad a job, but I think he'd have been a lot happier at prop.
Just getting around the field, which made people like Ben and I have to enter rucks, which was not a place that we necessarily wanted to be. They were very good at turning the ball over and then going wide very quickly.
Well, they quickly identified our five prop setup, and also the fact that two young lads very kindly ran out for us who'd never played a game of rugby before. And of course they were on the wings. So the Law Society very quickly worked out that if they turned the ball over and put three passes together, they were pretty much in. And after the fourth five-man overlap in the first 20 minutes, I realised I was in for a long afternoon at fullback.
A long afternoon chasing shadows, because the other thing that they pretty much refused to do was kick the ball at any time.
Yeah. Yeah. So
the only time they did, and the only time they did kick the ball, Ben, you weren't at home. Guess who had to run back 50, 60 metres and chase it down? Sidestep, stroke, hand off the winger in the 5 metres. Yes, this guy. And I'm going to make no bones about the fact that I think, in my own mind, I was phenomenal. Like, rolling back the ears. And
such a dick.
Damn, yeah.
But do you know what? I have to say, and I'll say this so Russ doesn't have to, although he has already, that he did play very well. And he is looking very svelte.
I actually wore
the number 10 shirt. For the first time ever for Newquay Hornets, I actually wore the number 10 shirt.
He played very well, getting an arsing from a team the division below our first team.
Oh wow.
Nothing short of phenomenal. Well done, Rusty.
And Ben, you mentioned before we come on air, you can tell a lot about how much a team are leading at halftime when the players they give you to come and play for you at halftime to kind of even it up a little bit. And they gave us their 10, who was decent, wasn't he?
Very, very good player. And it speaks well of them that they were willing to do that rather than enjoy a procession. And I think, did we edge the second half?
We may have just edged it, if not drawn it. We were not far away. But all anybody really wants to hear about is the sublime piece of combination play that led to our very own Ben Eustace dotting down with the last play of the game.
Yeah, I mean, if what everyone really want to hear about is a garbage time consolation try in a second team fixture against the touring side. But yeah, Russ made a nice break, probably from, well, first time we tell it, it was probably from the 22, but it's probably got as far out as the halfway line by now.
I mean, let's say the 10.
Cruised through. And then I thought I was running sort of towards his inside, and then I thought he was actually going to make it, and he got tripped up just short, went down, thought he dislocated his shoulder, and he popped the ball up, and all I had to do was, three paces and fall over?
It was something of that nature. The hard work was all done for you, Ben.
Yeah, exactly. But what was impressive about that dot down. What was impressive about that try was the two nearest men to you, Russ, were me and long-time listener John Pease. So the three of us combined age 118. Still,
last minute of the game.
Still running in the last minute on a sunny day.
Never give up, mate. Never give up. But despite the ass in not playing, despite how I feel now, still, it was some of the most fun I've had on a sport field for quite some time. The feeling you get when you take the ball into contact or you make a tackle is a feeling quite like no other. So it's just given me a real excited tone for the All Over Invitational, and hopefully everybody enjoys themselves because it'll be good fun.
Two things I'd add is one, big apologies to manager of the day, Dave Rich, for lending him the most uncomfortable boots of all time. And also, if you haven't guessed it, we thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. So anyone that is in two minds about coming back for a week to play in the Invitational, don't be in two minds anymore. Just do it.
Yeah. And I'd say in general, like, if Saturday taught me anything, it's that it was that you're a long time retired. And I'm so reticent to play rugby or do anything really as far as a team sport for quite some time. And there'll come a time where you actually can't do it. And that's when you have to stop. But while you still can, I would suggest that anybody who is even thinking moderately about it, get to your local club, go training. If they've got a second team fixture or a Friday nighters or whatever it might be, go and do it because it's so much fun. And, even after the Invitational, I think I might have a few more trot outs for the second team this season because it was just amazing. And I've missed. So there you go. We were having a good time, Phil, what were you doing?
I was away with the first, sat on the bench for the first, got 25 minutes off the bench. Absolutely loved it. And I was chatting to my dad earlier today, and I said the problem with it is I probably enjoyed it too much. So now I want it every weekend. I went into this season thinking if I play half a dozen games, either off the bench for the first or playing for the seconds, I'll be really happy. And now I'm looking at it going, oh shit, I can't play that week because I absolutely loved it. You're right, Russ. There's no feeling like playing a game of rugby and throwing your body around with a bunch of mates and enjoying a nice bus trip back as well. Bus trip back from the other side of Exeter, 2.5 hours on the bus. Pissed off the three old guys who came on the bus because we kept stopping to have a leak on the side of the A30 and they didn't have to. They just wanted to get home to their fish and chips. But had a really, really enjoyable day out. I'd like to echo really what Ben said, is that if anybody's really in any doubt whether they want to play a game of rugby, be it All Over Invitation or any other game of rugby, just fucking do it. You will not regret it. Even if you break your body properly, you will not regret it.
I'd imagine that the sheriff probably regrets doing it.
No, no, I reckon he probably doesn't. I reckon he does not regret it at all. He just regrets the pain that comes after.
Yeah.
We all do. But, like, you run around on the pitch, I felt like a 21-year-old. Like, I genuinely felt better than I did when I was playing first team rugby years and years ago. And it's just the recovery afterwards that takes a little bit longer.
So, Ben, you joke about your you, Peasy and Russ towards the end of the game doing the running. Our bench on Saturday was myself, former guest on the pod, George Ferris, and first team coach Ian Morgan. Hopefully Mrs. Morgan's not listening. So with a combined age of 120 on the bench.
That's former combined services fly half and fullback Ian Morgan.
Yeah. Though.
Like, he was a very good player in his day. Like, really.
He is still a very good player.
Yeah.
He just has told his missus that he's no longer playing rugby, and he kind of wants to stick to that if he can.
Yeah. And Doug, you've started training again.
I've got a lad who I play golf with, who plays for a club called Ickenham in London. They're a nomad team now because their clubhouse and everything else like that, I think, went by the wayside a bit, and they play at Ruislip now. So not far from, the journey from Bentley Priory to...
Northwood.
Yeah, or what was the other one where we used to go and do our guard training and stuff?
Oh, God.
Uxbridge.
Yeah. It no longer exists. That's Flatton for houses.
Yeah, down there. Unfortunately, I can't go tomorrow night. I say unfortunately because they're doing a combined training session with Ruislip, and it's going to be a full contact session, the first one of the season. So unfortunately, I'm going to miss that. But I do feel like I need to get some dings in before I come down to this invitational. Otherwise, it's going to be a bit of a shock to the system, really. But like you say, Rush, you know, I was more of a footballer than a rugby player in my day, and even more so, more of a cricketer. But I always wanted to play rugby. I'm not very good at it, but I love it.
Yeah.
I really like
Amen.
It. Unfortunately, the nature of my job means I can't play on Saturdays unless, you know, really strange set of circumstances happen. So I might be able to get a run out, but, I'm just happy to go along with training and be a tackle bag, really, and run around with young people who make me train harder than I normally would in the gym. So that's what I'm coming out of.
Depending on how I feel, I might even train tomorrow night. I might even train Thursday night. We'll see what happens. But anyway, I'm sure people
The first thing they said to me at the club was, we're more of a pub team than anything else. which was just right up my strata. And then was asked about going on tour. Committee meeting. So I went to the pub after training on the first night and they had a committee meeting. The second night I went training, they had their AGM. So I feel like I'm a fully paid up member of that club.
Well, isn't this interesting? So, let's see what happens to the Maulover Invitational in Newquay, because I've got a bit of a plan that if it goes well, that we look to do another Maulover Invitational next year somewhere else. And that could be Ickenham, maybe, and we'll play an Ickenham pub team.
Nice.
Well, why not? You know, we'll see how this one goes, but I'm sure we'll be able to get a few people together and go to London for a weekend.
Agreed. But it won't be pretty easy for me.
Yeah, well, we're all about making it easy for you, Doug. Anyway, we've just spent 23 minutes of your time talking about our lives and our rugby experiences from the weekend that have probably got no relevance and no interest to you whatsoever. Some stuff that might have some relevance to you this weekend is the return of the Premiership. There were lots of preseason friendlies going on that nobody really cares about. But there is a subject that I wanted to broach with you all. Now, did you all see the unveiling of Exeter's new mascot?
No.
Do you know about it, Phil?
No.
Doug, do you know anything about it?
I've heard about it. I think it's hilarious.
Mate, so for those of you that don't know,
virgins that are crying about it on Twitter.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, Exeter Chiefs literally launched a new mascot into the stadium on Saturday from the gantry on a zip wire to the middle of the pitch. And it just so happens to be a hawk that they've nicknamed Tom a Hawk. Now, for all of the people that whinge and monk and moan about the Exeter Chiefs branding and like the racism, like I still don't believe it's racist, but like all of the racist stuff, it is the ultimate piece of trolling by the club, because they could have had that exact mascot, and as Ben rightly pointed out on our WhatsApp, they could have called it Tommy Hawk. Just Tommy Hawk, right? It wouldn't be as funny. And everybody has literally lost their collective minds about it. And I just don't understand, like, it doesn't make any sense. And the club must just be going, like, well, you know, everybody's still talking about us. So no such thing as bad publicity. People are still going to go and watch the rugby. People are going to still buy the snazzy new black kit without any sponsor on it, and but we'll have this.
How do they feel about Tomahawk steaks? Are they racist?
I don't know. Depends where they're from.
Racist beef cuts.
Ben, I know that you know, you weren't opposed to the mascot as such, but you've got the views on the branding as a whole.
I actually think if they'd have gone with Tom the Hawk or Tommy Hawk and it was a hawk, it might have actually, I think both parties should have been happy with that, because it would have been a nod to the recent history because the mascot was a bit much,
what about if it turned up in a tiny little green hat and they called it Tom O'Hawk?
Yeah, I said in our chat, Russ, I just think it's now becoming a thing that's becoming a distraction. So I think eventually they will change the branding.
I think you underestimate the bloody-mindedness of Tony Rowe.
Well, I've always hated the branding anyway, because I can't think of anything worse than going to a rugby match and being stuck behind some dickhead in a war bonnet playing a drum. It would wind me right up. So I'm not in the camp that I get outraged by it, but I think it's a bit weird grown men dressing up
I've no doubt about
like that. I do wonder that it's going to become more and more of a distraction. People are going to talk about it in pre-match interviews, post-match interviews. Twitter's just going to keep going, and whether they'd just be better off just going to call themselves the Exeter Chiefs and having some kind of Saxon or Celt or whatever Exeter was back in the day. I mean, that could upset the, the Iceni or something, but, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Phil.
So this is kind of where I'm at with rugby. I don't really give a shit.
I'm with you, Phil, to be honest.
And similarly, the Twitter group, Fancy Rugby Draft group, I left whatever it was a week ago, because I ended up getting really riled and really emotionally involved in somebody getting a red card on the other side of the world. In a match that I literally couldn't give a shit about. And I ended up having really bad feelings towards people who I really like. And so what I've done is I've gone, you know what, any bit of rugby that doesn't involve a ball on the pitch and trying to watch it and enjoy it, I couldn't give a crap about. I'm back to not giving a shit about transfer rumours, Russ. So none of those, please. I just want to watch some rugby or play some rugby and talk about some rugby. Like, the rest of it can go fuck off as far as I'm concerned.
I think we're all in agreement, aren't we, Doug, that unfollowing as many such and such rugby Twitter accounts improves watching a game of rugby by what, 50%?
Just improves my state of mind. I think I must have blocked 200 people that have commented about that red card.
Listen, the only source of anybody talking anything about rugby other than this podcast that I currently have in my life is Rugby Ranter Banter, Eddie's podcast. And I only listen
to... And there's
not
a lot of rugby on there.
Oh, I only listen to the first 20 minutes when he doesn't talk about rugby.
I only listen to that for the pirate porn.
His dogs fucking each other or something.
I mean, and there's not enough pirate porn. Definitely not. We need more pirate porn.
Last week was very disturbing.
Yes, it was.
Can you imagine that if this is the two rugby podcasts you listen to, you've got us just boring on about our second team game for half an hour. And on Eddie's, you've got quite extreme pirate porn.
I'd still rather listen to that than Blood and Mud.
Now, if Eddie's ratings are not going up at the moment, something is wrong with the world.
I mean, why would Eddie's ratings be going up? He undoubtedly gets more listens than what we do.
No, I didn't mean because of us saying it. I meant because of the quality of the content.
Oh, yeah. Oh, mate. Undoubtedly. Let's move on, obviously, from Exeter. There isn't... Oh, God, I need to cough. This is bad. I can't talk. Do you guys have thoughts on the Premiership this season? 13-team Premiership. Ring fenced, bye weeks, other than teams trying to get into the Champions Cup, that is again in a format that nobody really cares about and it's going to make it really hard to get invested in. What do you think will be the outcome? What do you think will be the main outcome of this season?
Someone will win.
Exeter, I'm going to throw this out there controversially. Exeter not making the playoffs.
Oh, Philip.
Cool.
Yep. I reckon Saracens will be there or thereabouts. I reckon Bristol will be there or thereabouts. I reckon Sale will be there or thereabouts. Quins, obviously. And I think there's going to be a bit of a bolter from those teams in the middle that are improving, potentially Leicester getting in there. And I think Exeter have stayed fairly static in the quality of rugby they're playing over the last 18 months, and everybody else has improved. And I think there's a risk that they're going to rely on a formula that's worked before and get overtaken and end up fifth or sixth. That's my prediction.
I think that's worryingly good analysis from Phil, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if that's true. I mean,
what
one thing that leaps out to me with looking at Leicester is the phrase promoted from academy, because they've got Dan Kelly, George Martin, Van Portvliet, and
Van Portvliet. Sorry, who?
I don't know.
I mean, he played enough games last season.
He's back. He's back, baby.
How do I say it?
Van Portvliet.
That's it.
Why are you trying to overcomplicate that? Van Portvliet.
Look, I'm reading what someone else has told me to say.
I've missed you, Ben.
And well, all I was going to say is, and Freddie Stewart. So that's four England squad players all coming out of their academy. So that's got to be a good sign for Leicester. Van what?
Portfleet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Look, it's a proven way of winning. It's like the rookie NFL quarterback contract, isn't it? It's the biggest advantage in sport. If you can get six or seven academy lads in your first team squad, you've got an advantage over all those people that buy in South Africans.
And if we're talking about that, congratulations to two Newquay Hornets players who have got promoted from the academy onto the Exeter Chiefs first team squad, Ben Hammersley and Ben Grubb. So well done, guys.
Let me shock you then. Said Exeter won't make the top four. I don't think Harlequins will make the top four next season.
I don't think that's a shock, simple... is it? I don't think anyone expected them to make or do anything. And I think when you're an underdog like Harlequins are, you play with more. You play with a certain freedom that you don't get when you're expected.
I just think you take their two best players out of that team, which I think will undoubtedly happen in the autumn and Six Nations. Smith and Don Brandt will undoubtedly, I mean, I could be wrong, and Eddie Jones is a monumental twat. Smith and Don Brandt will both be with the England squad, and the drop off from Alex, from Smith to, I think he said Alex Smith then, a broken leg fame, Kansas City Chiefs, but the drop off from Don Brandt and Smith to their understudies is far too big, and I think the way that they play relies so heavily on their brilliance that they're going to suffer, and so I think they'll drop a lot more points.
I think you're probably right, and I think if there's one thing that I do expect, it's for it to be a pretty competitive season towards the top.
I think it's going to be competitive. It'll be competitive. I think it'll be competitive throughout the league. I think Worcester and I mean Irish were pretty competitive for large periods of last season. Worcester signing the likes of Van and others, I think, will make them undoubtedly a bit more competitive. But I think all of the teams are so much more evenly matched than I think they've ever been. And I think that when you look at the squads, obviously some squads have got more depth than others, but the squads, the first teams are, you know, all of relative similar quality.
I'm not sure I agree with that. I think there's some. I think Worcester are a long way off. And I think probably Newcastle are a long way off this year. I think they'll be clearly at the bottom of the league. And then everyone else will beat everyone else apart from probably Sale, Harlequins, and Exeter.
Well, you say that for Worcester. I look at. They've signed Hines and Chudley. Excuse me. Sorry, just coughing myself away. Hines and Chudley, Baldwin, Van der Merwe, Vailanu from Wasps. You know, they've picked up some really good players, and I think that bolsters their first team as well as adding squad depth. You mentioned Newcastle, Nathan Earl and Mike. I think that they flattered to deceive a bit last season, but they could be the ones that potentially struggle the most.
I do think usually when you sign Danny Cipriani, he's usually a world-beating for about 6 weeks. So I think Bath might be dangerous to start with, and then as he starts to irritate everyone, they'll probably drop off a little bit. Saracens are going to be the sort of wild card, aren't they? Because they've got those players back from loan. They've still got that sort of hardcore of England players. So they could be very, very dangerous. You know, they could. I don't think it will happen that they'll come back in the sort of without missing a beat, but it's a possibility that they could do. But I think, you know, they're going to be capable of beating anyone on their day.
Do you think the loss of Earl and Malins is going to really impact Bristol, or not so much?
I don't think so, because though both players played very well for them, you wouldn't probably say that either of them were key. You know, they've still got a real strong back row if Earl wasn't in it. And I think the same with Malins. Malins was, I think he was coming on stronger as the season went on, but they were almost trying to find a place for him to shoehorn him in a little bit. He's playing on the wing by the end of the season. So
they're also going to be missing for a quarter of the season anyway, because they're both likely to be in the England squads, even if they're not playing.
Yeah, that's not a bad joke.
I mean, Bristol must be pretty happy with what they've got, because there's no huge transfers really in or out, other than the two Saracens guys going back to Saracens. There's really nothing to
yeah, there's no real business at Bristol, is there? Mind you, they must be fairly tight on salary cap.
Ciarli Pieto going as well, but I'm not sure that makes that much of a difference. Good player that he is, I think they've got enough in the squad to cover him.
You know, I think they're pretty much happy with what they got, and you know, just disappointed with how the season finished. But I think they're sort of trusting what they've planned for there. You know, your big movers really are sort of Leicester, and Worcester really have shaken it up the most. You've got Hastings as an interesting transfer to Gloucester, but you know, they were very uninspiring all year, and I don't think they've shaken it up enough for even a good 10 to make a huge amount of difference. But yeah, I think looking at the ins and outs, I think Phil's probably got a point about Leicester being a bit of a dark horse.
I'm not sure Bath have necessarily come out of the ins and outs particularly well. There's been a lot of outs, albeit a lot of kind of squad players, but the ins are not. You've got three promoted from the academy, and Darcy Ray from Gloucester, and a chap from Ealing. So they're not setting the world alight, are they?
I mean, there's a lot of front row gone, either retired or left. Not that the front row was anything to write home about last year, but it doesn't seem to have been hugely replaced. So hopefully they've got stuff coming through. You know, the big miss is going to be Mercer, but you know, fair play to him. He's going to give it a role in France. You know, especially with Underhill and Faletau, like you said, you've said with a lot of other players, they're likely to be away for chunks of the season. I mean, Mercer is a big miss, but again, they've got, you know, youngsters coming through in the back row that impressed last season. But you know, other than the little bounce that you know, perhaps Cipriani might provide early on, you know, I don't think Bath will be far different this year to what they were last year in terms of league table.
I'm just quite excited to watch a bit of rugby.
Yeah, it's going to be good that rugby's finally back. It's been a long time since the Lions tour, and with all the disappointments that brought, not just on the field, but off the field as well, and just as the tour as a whole, it was really difficult to get into, as we've already mentioned. So give me very quickly your Premiership champions, or your Premiership finalists, Ben, for next season. Let's nail our colours to the mast. Who's getting to Twickenham?
I think it might be Saracens Bristol.
Doug?
Saracens Exeter. And all the Exeter and all the Saracens fans can all be locked into Twickenham and can bicker amongst themselves for hopefully the rest of time.
Phil?
Saracens Sale.
Okay.
It's almost just worse than Saracens.
I knew you'd know that. Doug's mate walking up the hollow steps. I am going to say
the hollow steps.
I don't know what the hollow steps are. They are technically hollow because they put them on the pitch.
Hollow steps, mate.
They, because they're on the pitch, aren't they, on that plinth? They're kind of hollow steps, technically.
Or do you mean hallowed?
No, because hallowed steps. Wembley, aren't they? Or they were. I know what I'm saying, mate. Don't try and correct me.
Well, okay, sure.
It didn't stop any of you correcting me.
Van Porfliet. I'm going to go for Exeter versus Bristol in the final. So, fuck you all. Any more rugby-related chat? Oh, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about something that absolutely nobody wants very, very quickly. Doug, I'm going to ask you a quick question and want a yes or no answer. Are you interested in 12-a-side rugby?
It depends if they're paying me.
Okay. Well, we'll leave you out of that for a hot minute, because, you know, there's a chance you might end up having to work on it. Ben, are you interested in 12 versus 12 rugby that apparently is going to bring new people into the game?
No. in the same way as if I'd be interested in a course in, I can't even think of anything I'd be less interested in, to be quite honest. I mean, they've already got sevens, so what's the point?
And tens?
Yeah, I mean...
Why would three less players bring new people into the game?
I mean, we've said we've just said they've already got sevens and they've already got tens. They've also already got rugby league, which is almost exactly the same. It's just one less person. And I'd rather watch paint dry. It's they've seen the 100. They've seen that some people have liked it, which I'll hold my hands up. Some people have enjoyed the 100, so we're gonna have to.
It's because there was no other cricket.
Yeah, and the main point about the 100, it was on BBC. That's why people watched it. But I just don't understand why every game has to be made shorter and less interesting for it to
and
be more.
Why are we bothered about getting new people in? Why?
They'll probably just set up Twitter accounts and start posting GIFs. So
yeah, look, why? Why, oh, why do we need it? And what are they going to, you know, are they going to stop calling them tries and start calling them score points? And they're not going to be worth five, they're going to be worth 50.
I'd rather remove my scrotum, sun dry it into the shape of a bowl, poach my testicles in some ramen broth, serve them in my
John
scrotum,
ramen broth.
And eat them.
All I think is, like, they bang on about player welfare, yet they're going to try and draft well-known players into this needless tournament to make them play some more games.
Whose season has already been extended by four match weeks.
Yes. Yeah.
Russ's point is the main point of this. It just shows what an absolute lie this player welfare is for in terms of the authorities, because as soon as there's a few quid in it, they're more than happy to throw some more extra games. Because
if, I mean, if I, this... I can't talk. That is literally my thought on it. If they throw money at me, I'll film it, just like I did with the 100.
But it only works. Bear in mind when they're talking about you film, talking about pre-season.
You film Phil wanking off a goat. If you had enough money,
well, he has.
Jamie Oliver
did that for free. It only works bearing in mind they're talking about doing it pre-season if the clubs release the players to do it. And that only works if there's enough money being thrown at the players to go, I don't want to play the first four games of the season. I'm going to go and make a shitload of money instead. But then
are they going to stand contractually? So they'll only be able to do it with players that are out of contract at the end of this season before they signed a new contract with their new teams for next season.
Or those that get it written into their contract, like the players do that go and play for the IPL with their counties.
But this thing doesn't exist yet, does it? So they're not going to be written into their contracts.
But if it was all about chasing that money, then they'd be in France or Japan at the moment anyway. So basically, it's going to be a tournament for nearly retired international money grabbers.
And not only that, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they start holding women's matches at half-time so they can say that the women played in front of a full stadium.
Yeah. How long is it going to be before the women's and the men's are playing double headers at the stadium? And the women's game's on first and then they can see you. It's just, I mean, like, I don't disagree with it, but don't claim for it to be something that it's not. Like, if you're going to do that, have the balls to put the women's game on afterwards. There was rather than beforehand or whatever, which if they'd done that with 100, it would have been patently obvious where the people were. And
there was a bit of commentary on a county championship game with one of the women's players, and I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Henry Moran or someone like that.
It would have been Alex Hartley then in that.
And whoever it was went, oh, I think it was a real successful women's cricket, but it'd be really nice if next time maybe they put one of the women's games second, just to see what happened. And let's say it was Henry Moran, and apologies if it's not. You could hear him just trying to hold back a proper roar out laugh, knowing full well they would never put a women's game second. It's like, took him about 30 seconds to respond. Then it was like, yeah, that would be interesting. It's not going to happen.
And I'm not even against them doing it. Like, do what they want, but if don't make it out to be something that it's not. And that's the point.
I just like the fact that to promote this new exciting form of rugby that they're bringing out, they pull out some 65-year-old Kiwi to show how it's new and exciting. They couldn't even get a player to get associated with it who might actually get people to think, well, oh, I want to watch that.
And just don't forget official rugby rent-a-mouth.
Yeah, shock they wheel out Ugo Monya to wank it off. Literally to make it ejaculate all over social media.
Rugby's Michael Vaughan.
You could argue that is a very good comparison. Very good comparison indeed. Anyway, we've already given that far too much airtime. I didn't think it was going to get that far. Yeah, absolute wankathon.
You only got that much airtime because we were all panning it constantly for 5 minutes each.
Love it.
I just thought, what would the teams be called?
Oh, yeah.
Who gives a shit?
No, I think that's a good thing to put out on Twitter. Can we have team names for the for 8 franchises for Rugby 12s?
Rugby 8 franchises, Rugby 12s, city-based?
Yeah, but, you know, they're not all city. Like, they're not cities, are they? So you could have, like, regional. So, you know, like the Chess Valley Super Marauders. You know, go nuts. I just want the 8 best.
Chalk Valley Super Tanks.
8 best.
I think they should do it with like
the
old
London
school...
Super Wokes.
Yeah, I think they should do it with old school clubs. So like the Blackheath.
No, don't finish that sentence.
Blackheath Boom Kings. Rosslyn Park Royal Chargers.
West Hartlepool Super Whackers.
Surely it would be Royal Chargers Rosslyn Park, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It'd have to be the West Hartlepool Monkey Hangers, wouldn't it? I might watch them. Yeah.
While we're on the the stupid team names, who was it at Chennai that thought, do you know what's better than a king?
I think that the 100 team names are as bad as they could have made. The Manchester Originals is possibly the worst team name I've ever encountered.
Is it the Super Somethings, isn't it?
The Northern Superchargers. Southern Brave is right up there.
London Spirit.
And the logos look like they were
that's a gin, isn't it? The fact that they're all sponsored by Chris Brands as well, I thought was quite humorous.
Yeah. We could have the Southern Brave rugby team could be the Plymouth Navy Strength.
So we had some questions lined up for a possible punching chat, and one was about the worst sponsors. Pombears sponsoring the Southern Brave has to be up there for one of the worst shirt sponsors ever.
When Phil says a possible punching chat, it was an actual punching chat.
Oh, yeah, because it was just me and Ben. And Ben, you won, didn't
head
you?
Head-to-head.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
It was a head-to-head, and you did win. We will have to do a forfeit.
If you're talking about bad sponsors, Jamie Whitten used to ride in the British Superbike Championship on a bike that was sponsored by Durex.
It's a bit wanky.
Hey.
Little bit of banter. Eight teams at Doug's request. Give us your best. See what happens. Hashtag. What should we hashtag that?
Hashtag Dirty Dozen.
Hashtag, there's only eight.
No, because there's bound to be one of those. Hashtag rugby 12s is shite.
Hashtag fuck this shit competition.
Let's keep it relatively PG. Let's go hashtag pointless rugby.
No, because there'll be loads of points in it.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Hashtag balls to the 12s.
Hashtag 12 balls.
12 balls.
There you go.
No, there's only eight teams.
Is there 12 players?
There's eight teams of 12 players.
I'm confused already.
Yeah, exactly.
This isn't getting off the ground, is it? Much like the 12s.
Let's make it rugby 11s with a round ball and nets.
And you can only kick it.
Yeah.
And one person in a specifically designated area can use their hands.
Exactly. I think we're onto a winner here.
It's tackling allowed, John.
But only with your feet.
What?
Yeah, and you can only use one foot.
Below the nipple line. Is this still below the nipple line?
Yeah.
I'll do it. You know what? Make it your own hashtag. Just at Ball Over Podcast and just give us your shit. Team names. Hashtag shit team names. That was easy, wasn't it? We got there in the end. Right. We've been going for nearly an hour and we've said literally nothing. So let's get into some any other business. You know, it's been a while since we've been back. We've managed to rabbit on. So Doug, any other business from you?
Not me first. I haven't thought of one yet.
All right, Ben.
Nah, I'm all right.
Fair enough. Phil?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Couple of recommendations. Clickbait, I watched on...
Russ, I meant to pick you up on that. Mate, that is one of the worst television programmes, conceits and implementations of a television programme I've ever witnessed in my life.
I enjoyed it, mate. Did you watch it all?
Russ, you're so simple, mate. You know, Gangs of London, I bet you loved that.
I did.
Yeah, honestly. Mate. Bet you loved Da Vinci Code, didn't you?
No. A bit too complicated for me, that.
Yeah. Prefer colouring books.
Highbrow.
No. By numbers, mate, please, if you don't mind. So, yeah.
I thought it was shite.
Well, you're welcome to your opinion, Douglas.
I've given you it.
And I will thank you for it.
So what's the learning from this? There's a TV programme that might be either good or shite.
Well, you can either trust Russ, who knows nothing about television, or me, who knows everything.
Anyway, humble brag, been nominated for an award. You might have seen on my socials this evening, nominated for a volunteer grassroots cricket volunteer award by Cornwall Cricket. So I've got to go to the Cornwall Cricket Centre on the 1st of October and with the other nominees and see whether I've won for my services to grassroots cricket.
Just be careful you don't pierce your foot on a spike.
Got you on the old jeans rule, Nazi.
Copy of the Daily Mail. Oh, that's a good paper.
Yeah.
Who's the competition, Russ? Who's the big competition?
I don't know. I don't know who the nominations are. I don't even know what category I've been nominated in. I don't even know what the categories are.
Most likely to rain.
The man with the most upside down head.
Yeah. The man most parents are worried about coaching their children.
The Parents' Choice Award.
Yeah.
am I going to get there and they're going to serve me with some papers?
Just a big ruse. Just a fake front and you just walk straight into a paddy wagon.
Yeah, why are the... Why are there the awards at the magistrates' court?
That's the one, mummy.
Oh my word! I mean, this has taken a very, very dark turn, but very funny.
Sorry, I'll leave you alone now. But my only other business is kind of rugby related, and I just kind of, and we touched on it earlier about the whole Twitter experience with rugby now, and it's sapped the joy out of rugby for me at the moment. Like, it's no longer a game of rugby. It's a game of debating red cards and yellow cards, and it's just a bit tedious. And I think if this is the way sort of like life in general goes now, where you... Everything is about the negative aspect of everything. There's nothing that you can just be positive about. And I just find that a bit sad. And with that in mind, I think everyone should watch Ted Lasso on Apple TV, because it is one of the most relentlessly positive. Even when it's being a little bit downbeat, it's one of the most relentlessly positive things you'll watch. And it'll actually make you... have happy thoughts, as opposed to thinking everything's shit.
Don't have Apple TV, mate.
On the subject of just something that's fun, we went to the Little Orchard Music Festival, which is basically a cider festival with a bit of music. But they had a Nirvana tribute band who had an Elvis impersonator as their lead singer. And it was one of the most fun things I've seen on a stage. It was absolutely brilliant. I've not been to the same clubs Doug has, obviously, judging by his face. But yeah, they were really good. So if you ever get the chance to see Alvana, do it.
There you go.
I went to a wedding a couple of weeks ago. First wedding I've been to in a couple of years. Unsurprisingly, maybe longer than that, maybe 5 years. And it was just very jolly.
Did you have a dance?
And a boogie. Yeah, it was superb. And lastly, if you're ever in London and you do fancy going to Hatch End, there's an absolutely incredible Mexican restaurant called Shingon, which is I went there the other night and had bone marrow starters and some tacos. It was delightful.
Lovely. That's good. Right. Let's get out of here before we go on too long. We'll be back next week. We're going to be back now every Monday evening recording for the foreseeable future until European rugby starts, where we might take another break, because that's
or
real
shit. None of us can be bothered.
Well, which is, you know, almost entirely possible. But let's see. Yeah, sure.
Until rugby social media becomes so unbearable, we don't want to be a part of it.
Let's see. We'll hopefully see most of you, like all of our 18 listeners, at the All Over Invitational on the 9th of October. We're really looking forward to it. And, you know, if nothing else, we'll all be there with a kit and an opposition and a referee, and we'll have a game of rugby. Everybody else being there is what's going to make it great. So if you can make it, do make it, and you're all more than welcome. And we'll try and make it a good day for everybody involved. So get there and raise money for Rugby Against Cancer, which is most important. So go well.
Sports Social Podcast Network.